Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this opportunity to sit together, to worship together, to pray together, Father, to share our thoughts and our hearts. And God, I feel like we talk about it all the time, but it's okay because it's true. You know our hearts. You know everything that's going on in our minds and in our hearts. So God, we just thank you that you are who you are. Thank you that you are sovereign. Thank you that you are compassionate and merciful, and filled with grace and filled with love. And so, Lord, we just thank you for all those things tonight. And, Lord, as we've gone around and named all the folks that are just dealing with sicknesses and surgeries and cancer treatments and accidents and I just always say dealing with life. God, we know that bringing them to you is the best option. So, Lord, right now we just bring them to the throne of grace. We bring them to your feet, and we lay them at your feet, and we know, God, that they're in the best hands. The only hands that really has any ability or any power to do anything in all those situations. So, God, we just ask tonight for all the things that we've named and even the ones that you know are in our hearts that we haven't named. Lord, we just ask that you do everything according to your will and according to your timing, according to your purposes and your plan. And Father, may we understand, may we know, and may we trust that whatever that is what is best. So Father, now we just thank you again for our time together. We pray, Lord, that you are pleased with all that you see in this place tonight. And again, we just love you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Holy Spirit. And we pray these things in your mighty and holy name. Amen. Tonight, we're going to talk about Nathaniel. And some of you have already told me, well, Nathaniel isn't in the list. But is he? So let's start by, let me ask you just a few questions. And you can answer if you want to because, you know, we're all friends in here, and I don't want anybody to get offended, but who is your best friend? Well, you can leave him off. I'm just talking about, like, in this earthly human life, do you have a best friend, and who is your best friend? I saw Randy lean over and grab Suzanne. Suzanne, he didn't see Suzanne's face. She was going, no, I'm just kidding. And then I saw Gail back there going, yep, right? Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we have our spouse, and our spouse ought to be our best friend, right? But even outside of that marital relationship, do you have a best friend? Okay. And it's important that we do, right? We've been talking about that a lot in the men's ministry, not just an accountability part, but just having people in your life that do what? That speak truth to you, that you know that they can walk up to you and just say whatever they need to say to you. And guess what? You might get a little rubbed wrong or upset, but it's still to your benefit. It's good, right? Or you know that in a moment that you might need someone, you can pick up the phone and they're going to, what, encourage you, love on you, lift you up. And we do talk about Jesus in that regard, don't we? Right? So I sort of answered this one for you, but what qualities, because your best friend has qualities that you recognize, and those qualities are one of the reasons they're your best friend, right? So what are some of those qualities? Steadfastness. What else? Patience. Hey, sense of humor. Right? That's why y'all like me, right? No. Ah, confidentiality, right? Yeah. All right. So another way of saying that is trust, right? Okay. That's big with our spouses, right?
They
tolerate you. Tolerance. I like it. A high level of tolerance. Yeah. What else? Anything else? Okay. And this may seem like I'm grasping for straws, but eventually we're going to get to the point about this relationship here. But in all four lists of the apostles, you will not find the name Nathanael. Why do you think that is? Or do you know why that is? Okay. So in the four lists, which is Matthew 10, Mark 3, Luke 6, and Acts chapter 1, the four lists of the 12 apostles, you will find Bartholomew listed four times, right? Well, why did I tell you we were going to talk about Nathanael? Well, remember our discussions on the significance of names and their use of names, especially in what we say ancient times or the times of Christ, right? The days of Christ. What does Bartholomew mean? Did anybody look it up? Okay, so what about Bartholomew? Anybody look up that name? Y'all all focused on Nathanael, didn't you? Ptolemy. You've heard of Ptolemy? P-T-O, however that's spelled. P-T-O-M. All right, Ptolemy. So Bartholomew means son of, that's the bar. B-A-R, right? And I saw it spelled two different ways, T-O-L-M-A-I or T-A-L-M-A-I, Ptolemy or Ptolemy, okay? So any guesses about what that is? So the name Bartholomew is Aramaic. It's an Aramaic patronym that means son of Ptolemy or Ptolemy. And it could function as a person's proper name. Now, think about that. Who else in Scripture have you heard them say bar with? I'm trying to think how to word that. We've already talked about one of them. Well, who's Simon Bar-Jonah? Peter, right? We've already talked about Peter. So what's Bar-Jonah mean? Well, bar means son of, right? Okay, so to say that's Simon, son of Jonah. Now, that's not the Jonah we've been talking about on Sunday morning, but J-O-N-A. Okay, so Nathanael, properly to talk about Bartholomew, we would say Nathanael Bartholomew, or Nathanael, son of Ptolemy. Okay, so the son of Ptolemy would be his surname. Okay. In other words, that's his father's name. That was done a lot in the days of Christ. Okay. Let's see here. I feel like I skipped over something there. I thought I had what it actually meant. Oh, there we go. So, well, that's Nathanael. Well, So Brady, his middle name is Nathanael, and we chose Nathanael because of what Nathanael means. But Nathanael means given by God or gift of God, okay? The Synoptic Gospels list Bartholomew where? Right after the guy we talked about last week, right? Right after Philip. Now, what do we know about those listings? Remember, we talked about the order being important. And this is where this conversation about friendships come in, right? In all the listings, you find Philip, then who? Philip, then Bartholomew, right? Okay. Perhaps that suggests that the two were somehow affiliated. MacArthur believes that they were close friends, maybe even best friends. All right. Where do you find that story, though? Well, John don't give us a list, and John doesn't call him Bartholomew. Calls him Nathanael, right? Okay. So MacArthur, based on what we read in John's account, because that's really only the real information, because the other four just list his name. In two places in John, we get him called Nathanael. And one of them is just his name. So really the only true biblical insight we get of this guy Nathanael comes out of John chapter 1, verses 43 through 51. And we're going to read that here shortly.
He was also with the apostles when they went fishing, and Jesus appeared on the shore.
Yep. But even then, he's only mentioned by name, right? But we can learn from that, because he was part of that group, and he was there again, once again, with who? With Philip, right? Okay? So John never refers to him as Bartholomew, only Nathanael. Nathanael means gift of God or given by God. Now, because patronyms like Bartholomew were more commonly used as surnames, this view suggests that the disciple's full name was Nathanael Bartholomew. Okay? Now, yeah. Well, I mean, like Simon Barjona, you know. I'm sorry. Yep, most of the time. And who's, ladies, if you get married, whose name do you usually take? The husband's name, right? Okay, and then after that, if you have children, then they end up, so kind of the same thing, we still do that today, we just don't put the bar, which is Aramaic, right? So where was we going? John chapter 1. Let me find it here. Yep. All right, so we're going to read 43 through 51. And we've already looked at this, but we're going to read it again. But I want you, when you see Nathanael, that's what I want you to focus on, the interaction there. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found who? Nathanael. And said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Well, come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit or guile," right? Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you."
In other words, Jesus said, "I've seen you around."
Yeah. Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi," now that's important, "you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel." Jesus answered him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Now what was Jesus talking about there? When did that occur? When did this moment occur and then Jesus said that to him? It happened right after Jesus was baptized. Right? So, yes, he had already seen a little bit of that with the dove and all that, but then he's going to see it what? At the second coming of Christ. Somebody said it, end times. Okay? Yep. So, go ahead, while we're here, just flip over to John 21, since you're already in John, and I want to show you just the name part of this. We read this last week talking about Philip, if you remember. John chapter 21, it says, "After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin," who we're going to talk about with Matthew next week, and who's there with him? Nathanael. But what's important about the next part of that? Nathanael where? of Cana in Galilee. So we get like where he's from, right? And it goes on, the sons of Zebedee and two others of his disciples were together. So that what we just talked about, that's all the information that we get. Yeah. But that's all the information about Bartholomew or Nathanael that we get in Scripture, right? But guess what? It's still enough to provide us some information about the character or the nature of the guy that we're talking about, right? So in what we read, what are some of the things that might have stood out to you? Did you pick up on anything about Nathanael or about Bartholomew in his interaction? Okay. Okay. All right. Ah, okay. But he really believed it, didn't he? Okay. So first off, who's his friend? Philip. He's always listed with Philip, so we can just assume that he's a friend. Even the fishing story, right? He's there with Philip. Yeah, there's some other ones there, but he's there with Philip. What about that interaction in what we read out of John chapter 1? When Philip goes to him and says, "We've found Jesus," and he uses a lot more words. But what's important about that? What can we learn about Nathanael from that interaction? Okay, well, that's my next bullet point.
I mean, you know, when Philip realized who Jesus was, he wanted to tell Nathanael.
Okay.
That tells us about how Philip felt about him.
Okay. But he didn't just go to Philip and say, "Hey, I found the Messiah. Come and see," did he? No, he said, "We found the one that we've been studying about. We found the one that we've been looking for," right? So just in that statement, we can pick up from Nathanael that, guess what? Nathanael was a student of the Scripture. Otherwise, Philip would have just walked up and said, "Hey, I want to take you to meet somebody." Don't you think? So what does it tell us about the relationship with him and Philip? Not that they were just good friends, but they probably were studying the Scripture together. Maybe. Well, if they were from the same region, same area, they could have, right?
He might have been a disciple of John.
Ah, and there's another thing. We know Philip, we talked about this last week, was probably most likely in the wilderness or in the desert to listen to the teaching and follow John the Baptist, right? So guess what? Guess who was probably there with him? Philip. So they were, acquaintances that way as well, okay? So the truth of Scripture would have been important to Nathanael. Otherwise, Philip would not have made a point to mention that he had found the Messiah. Because of this, it's highly likely that he and Philip came to the wilderness to listen and learn from who? John the Baptizer, right? John the Baptist. Next, Nathanael had a prejudice. Now, he didn't say, "Well, I don't like those people from Nazareth," but he asks a question, didn't he? Because Philip goes up and he said, "Hey, we found the Messiah, right? We found the guy we've been studying about, the guy we've been looking for, the guy that we've been learning about." And his question was what? "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" So he was a little bit prejudiced toward
his prejudice or Nazareth's reputation.
Right. Either way, he wasn't too sure about it, right?
Later on, when the leadership is trying to figure out what they can do to Jesus.
Yeah. No, yeah, right, yeah. Well, people that knew about the Messiah, knew the Scripture, even just in generalities, they weren't expecting Jesus to end up being and coming the way Jesus came into the world and being the type prophet to being the type of Messiah that he was. No one was. Remember, we talked about this back in our Matthew study. Everybody wanted him to come in on the horse and armor on and swords a-blazing, right? And he come in what? Judah.
Son of
yep.
David, right?
Yep.
That's why he was born in Bethlehem, not Nazareth, even though Joseph and Mary were from Bethlehem, right? Jesus was born in the city of David.
Yeah.
None of that. And we look at Luke 2, and we just kind of, because it's so familiar, we just kind of brush over that, but that, all that had to happen.
Yeah. And it was all orchestrated and lined up across all of history and time up to the point of his birth, up to the point of his mission. By who? By God.
Yeah,
by a sovereign God.
Using Quirinius, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Right? Yep. So go back to the end of chapter 1 of John, and I want to ask you something. What follows? What story do we get behind chapter 1? What's next, the very beginning of chapter 2? On the third day, there was a wedding where? At Cana in Galilee. Well, where is Nathanael from? Cana in Galilee. So guess what? He's important. And he's important to why Jesus would have selected him to be one of the apostles, right? And we talked about this a little bit the last few weeks. Some of these apostles, while we don't get like a biblical explanation, there had to be some type of relationship or knowledge of Jesus prior to, right? With the exception of a few, and this is what we just read in John 1 is one of those few, because Philip goes to him and says, hey, we have found him, right? But remember, why is that important? What happened to Philip? Philip was the first one that Jesus went and found, right? And then after that, Philip went immediately, like Brian said, and found his friend and said, hey, we found him. Come and see, or come with me and I'll introduce you, right? So here's my question about your friend. Do you talk to your friend about Jesus? Now, our spouses, that's an easy one, right? But my best friend in high school is now in Ohio. And I don't talk to him about Jesus because we don't talk anymore. But it was one of the blessings of my life to find out a few years ago, probably about 12 years ago now, that he and his wife and his whole family had gotten saved and got involved in church to the point where he serves as a deacon and his wife serves the children, you know, and so
that really is a blessing. I've had a few times in my life where I've, you know, caught up with somebody that I haven't seen in 20 years, and both of us were part of each other's lives in BC.
Yeah. Well, without knowing that maybe your friend is a Christian, knowing that you are, it kind of makes it first that you got to get this awkward feeling. Ooh, how's this going to go, right? But here's the thing. We've already talked about it. God's so sovereign and he's so good. And he just, even for us, he loves us and cares about us enough that he orchestrates things sometimes, right, without us knowing about it, and then it turns into being a blessing, right? I read this story about Philip and his friend, Nathanael, Philip and his friend Bartholomew, and I see that as one of those moments, that it was a blessing to both of them. I mean, historically even, we know that it was a blessing because they were selected to be part of the apostles. Go ahead, Randy.
Looking at this, you know, sometimes we think that all the apostles, you know, were just random people
Right.
We talked about this before too, but they were living in the same area. They're probably, I was just thinking about the wedding at Cana, the fact that Jesus' mother evidently had something to do with the refreshments.
Yeah.
At that, probably, and since that was not the town they lived in, there's a good chance they were related.
Yep.
Possibly.
Possibly.
And maybe related to Nathaniel.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, cause, so this is like maybe fairly closely related.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
People and their friends.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's interesting, if that's true, then it was easier in Jesus' day for them to serve and to decide to follow Jesus the closer relationship they had. Well, guess what? In our day, that's not necessarily the case. We always, I say it myself, who's the most difficult ones to talk to about Jesus? Family and friends, right? But if they were all like third cousins, you know, related, grew up in the same town together, guess what? They had those close relationships, and it was a natural thing to them to go and like Philip did to Nathaniel and say, hey, we found him, you know? Go ahead, you had something.
It's just interesting because Daniel, where he is in the that's the way their church, that church there is growing.
Yeah.
They grow and reach out through their relationship. I mean,
yep.
Again, we do it through networking, whatever you want to call it, but family was the original network.
Yeah.
And so most of them, it's through their friends and then they're and reaching their own family and extended
yep.
family.
Yep.
It's not going out and knocking on doors. And
yeah.
Because their culture, that's not their culture.
But it's a for us, I think a lot of times it's a fear thing sometimes, you know. Even with our friends, you mentioned it earlier, you're a little bit apprehensive sometimes about saying, well, I don't do those things anymore because I've given my heart to Jesus, I've given my life to Jesus. So we're a little bit apprehensive. But, and this is where we've talked about it for a few minutes, but where I was wanting to go with that is, why do y'all think that we're just so apprehensive about talking about our Savior? Because I'm not immune to it. It happens to me a lot too. But shouldn't it be if He is our Lord, shouldn't it be that we just get excited to talk about Him, and no matter who's in front of us, whether it's a stranger, whether it's a friend, whether it's a family member, a coworker, whatever. I'm just asking, what y'all think? But why don't we always do that? That's the hard part, right?
I think one thing is there's so much in media and so forth that people who are out there are so often the hypocrites and the
oh yeah
and so forth that you know I think sometimes we're a little bit afraid that if we're speaking out like that, well, you know what kind of guy he is.
And I think that's
I
a
think
big.
That we should be able to.
but I think that's a big part of it. I think all of us. If somebody walked up to us and said, hey, I heard you as a Christian, tell me about that. We wouldn't have a bit of trouble sharing that, right? But the world we live in today, I think what Randy's talking about is very key because, Jackie gave a testimony. Like he said something at work and got, you know, called to the principal's office, so to speak, right? Twice, right? But what did he say? Hey, I am who I am. I belong to Jesus, and that's just how I'm going to be, right? Could go differently next time. And there are jobs and there are situations that if you did that, guess what? See ya. Go ahead, Sherry. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I've seen, too, where people comment, well, if you speak about Jesus, you're trying to tell us what to do.
Oh, yeah. Well, that goes back to a little bit what Randy was saying. So.
A false image.
Right, right. But how do we change that?
By
not feeding into the noise, right, or giving them more proof, more evidence to say, well, golly, I thought that guy was a Christian, but boy, he sure didn't act like it.
you
know? No, nope.
That's where things like Carpenters for Christ.
Yep. Well, even just yeah.
Those who do try to share it, they get away from speaking the truth out of the Bible and they go away then you're not really preaching about Jesus anymore.
Yeah. So there's two truths that we can absolutely give people, right? The word, just simple read the word, then you've given the truth. You don't need to pontificate. Just read the word, right? Well, it says this. Then you give truth. The other truth you can give is your story. Because that's, like, I think it was Jeff that said it that night in our men's ministry meeting. That's his story. Like Suzanne can say, well, I don't think that happened to you. And I can look at Suzanne and say, well, too bad, it happened. It's my story. That's truth. That's truth, is it not? So there's the two truths you can give people. You can always give them the word, right? Don't add to it. Don't take it. Give them what it says. And then your story. Look, this is what Jesus did for me. This is currently right now today what Jesus is doing for me. And oh, by the way, let me tell you about what he's going to do sometime in the future. That's just truth, right? You give it all. So I read through this and I thought, we read it in black and white. But that's one of the reasons I like how The Chosen does what they do. Because they show us the interactions and the facial expressions. Because I read this about Philip and Nathaniel, and I don't think Philip just walked up and said, hey, you know, what's going on, Nathaniel? We just found the Messiah. No, I think he walked up and said, hey, come on. We found him. This guy we've been all our life talking about, all our life studying about, he's over here. And I think there was an excitement to that. And when we read it, sometimes we don't get that side of it, right?
And what we forget too is, you know, Bethsaida, Cana, they were that's an all day walk for sure.
Yep.
Maybe an overnight stay and walk some more.
Mm-hmm. So let's take that Philip going to Nathaniel, telling Nathaniel. Nathaniel goes with Philip. He's on his way. Does Nathaniel say anything to Jesus before Jesus addresses him in what we read? It says Jesus saw Nathaniel and said to him what? How did he know that about Nathaniel? Because this is Jesus. He knows our heart. But what's the second part of that story? The first part is Jesus talks to him, and then Nathaniel asks the question, well, how do you know me? Like he was shocked. Like I've, you know, how do you know me? And then he gives him an instance that only Nathaniel would have known about. Right? Now, we got a picture of that. Was it in season 2 or 3 of Nathaniel under the Bartholomew under the fig tree?
Well, in The Chosen, he was like an architect, and he'd had a big catastrophic failure at work.
And that's one of the things they're embellishing about, but I think they're trying to draw us to this point in Scripture and show him under the tree, but who knows about that incident? Only Jesus, right? And I think that's in their version of what we're talking about. But the truth behind that is what? We can be just feel so isolated or feel so alone or just feel so bad about ourselves, but who really knows outside of us? Jesus always knows. He knows your heart. He knows you. He knows exactly where you're at in life. So
he knew them. He said that just for the benefit of those people around him.
Yeah, yeah, yep. So what does that tell us about that interaction with Jesus? What does that tell us about Nathaniel's character in that moment? Jesus says, there's an Israelite who has what? A pure heart. Let's use that, okay? And then he says, And then he says, how do you know me? And then he gives him the fig tree. And then what does he say? Ah, remember I said that's important. But not just by calling him that, what was Nathanael in that moment acknowledging? That he believed, right? He didn't have to have Philip, Pat, like, say, this is why we think we found him. He didn't have to have one of the other ones, right? That simple conversation, that simple interaction with Jesus, with the Messiah, him saying that, asking a question, and then Jesus responding, he said, Rabbi, teacher, you are the one. Go ahead.
Well, I think tie that in with his comment, can anything good come out of the desert?
Yeah.
I think that shows that he wasn't gullible.
Right.
I mean, he wasn't just going to go after anybody because he wanted to be the Messiah. He came in with some misgivings or
yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm. So I'm glad Randy phrased that the way he phrased it. How many people come to a church, and they've been people come to our church, they come like that. They hear about Jesus, they maybe even know a little bit about Jesus, but they come here so apprehensive. Or they come here with some twisted theology, right? And they're still searching, or they're still seeking, or they're still trying to find out, right?
It's because we live in a world where if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is.
Mm-hmm.
But the gospel is the exception to that. It sounds too good to be true, and it is true.
But it is true, absolute true, right? So
that's why we have that apprehension. It's because we've been burned. You know, once burned, twice shy, right?
Nathanael was a disciple, but he wasn't in the top 12.
No, Nathanael is. Bartholomew, same guy. What's that now? Who, Bartholomew? Which church, do you know? I was going to read it to you, but go ahead if you know. It's believed, now this shocked me, that he took the gospel to India. And he established Christian churches in India. So, we've talked about all the stuff we get from Scripture. But Bartholomew is mentioned by other non-biblical writers as well. So historically or traditionally, I wanted to read this to you because I just pulled this off my Logos because I was trying to figure out how he was martyred and different things. The 13th century Syrian Christian Bar Hebraeus identified Bartholomew as Jesus's Bartholomew rather than Nathanael. Why do you think he would have identified him that way? Because there were other Bartholomews other than Nathanael's, right? So he wanted to make it a point. Now this was the one that followed Jesus, right? According to the church historian Eusebius, Bartholomew eventually took the gospel to India. Others report that he took it as far as Armenia. Eusebius also records that Bartholomew, that's a lot of blah, blah, blah in there, y'all. Eusebius also records that Bartholomew was responsible for the Gospel of Matthew, originally written in Hebrew. According to the non-canonical martyrdom of Bartholomew, he was killed by drowning, though another tradition has him as being crucified. Okay. Again, does method matter? What matters is he gave his life for Christ, right? He was a martyr. Right, we don't have, and that's why I made a point to say we've talked about everything scripturally. This is just historical writings that talk about him, right? Tradition. So again, don't take that as 100% truth. Just take that as what's recorded. And was anyone alive when this Jesus's Nathaniel was alive. So we weren't there to witness it. We're not eyewitnesses, so we just have these things to piece together and go off of. So what do we take from tonight? Study the scripture, right? Put your whole heart into it, right? And when you realize truth, you recognize truth, guess what? Embrace it. Because in the interaction with Jesus, Nathanael realized what? Because he said it, Rabbi, you are the Son of God, right? And then don't be afraid to talk about Jesus, right? It's easier said than done, okay? But don't be afraid to. And might it cause you some heartache? It may. But are you willing to do that? Are you willing to do that? You're willing to step out there on faith and say, all right, Lord, you've obviously aligned this. I'm just going to be faithful and go for it and then see what happens, right? What else? Anybody take anything else? Oh, y'all got quiet all of a sudden when I gave you a quiz. Yeah. And guess what? It's probably going to be even exponentially worse as time goes on if we're still around to see it. Because we're not immune to it. We're not immune to the...
I think that I came to bring peace on earth, not peace but a sword.
Yep. All right. Next week, we're gonna talk about two. Matthew and Thomas. Okay? And... I'll try to do my best to talk quickly. But look, if I feel like we can't cover both of them, and then I'll split it. Because we got a few weeks of fluff in there because I don't want to jump into something and have to pause for all the Easter celebration. Yeah. Assuming that the battery don't die and I turn it on. Yeah. Yep. All right, y'all. Thank y'all. I will pray and we'll go about our day. Remember, tomorrow is the beginning of our 40 days of devotion, prayer, fasting, whatever the Holy Spirit leads you to in that time. The point is to what? Study the book of Mark and grow closer to Jesus. And this I know, if you do that, he will meet you in that process. He will meet you exactly like where you are in that process, okay? Whether it's scripture reading, prayer time, whatever it is, he will meet you in that place. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you again for today. Thank you, Lord, that you are just so good to us. Lord, I thank you that even though we just got small stories of the apostles, they give us things that we can take. They give us things that we can learn. They give us ways that we can grow and become better disciples ourselves. But Lord, my prayer as we continue this study for the next few weeks is, Lord, that we don't just waste the things that we learn from this, that we apply them to our lives. And Lord, we just become a light, a brighter light into the world around us that, has got lots of dark spots. So Lord, as we go tonight, I pray, Lord, as we begin to start this 40 days of prayer time and fasting and just seeking your face, Lord, that you will help each of us learn what you need us to learn. And then help us to grow in the manner that you need us to grow. And Lord, may at the end of it, may we just stand up and shout the name of Jesus and give you praise and honor and glory for all of it. As we go tonight, Father, we just ask for your protection and your provision. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Holy Spirit. And we pray these things together in your mighty and holy name. Amen.